If any kids want to go now in the back, you're welcome to do so. I think 6 to 10, I think we said. I kind of don't know what to say. God, he sometimes does things differently than what you get in your head, which is sometimes a good thing. And I think what I want to say to you before I start this morning is this doesn't depend on you. If you can only understand what God wants to do and can do, and stop trying to force him or somehow earn his favor, and just humble yourself and just freely accept what he's wanting to give you, he would be able to do so much more through you. One of the ways God always reminds me of that is when I feel like I'm at my worst, or when I feel like I'm a failure, and he comes and just lavishes his love on me and basically kind of is like, what is wrong with you? Why are you thinking the way you think? I'm not like you. He's not like us. He's not like your parents were. He's not like your spouse. We cannot compare him to anything earthly or human. His love surpasses our understanding. Do you understand that? And we need to let him reveal himself the way he is, the way he tells us he is in his word, and conveys and reassures us through his Holy Spirit. Lord, you know what you want to say today. I know I've prepared, but you are wanting us to know you. You're wanting us to have everything you have purchased for us, Lord. You don't want us walking around like beggars, Lord, that don't understand what they've been given. So, Lord, I pray you just create faith in us to see you as you are, to just believe what you've promised us. Help our unbelief, Lord. Help us to get our eyes off of ourselves and onto you and our circumstances, what's going on in the world. Help us to get our eyes on you, Lord. So I pray you'll help me, Lord. Lord, I thank you that you will help me to say what you want to say this morning and to speak to our hearts, Lord, and to receive what you want to give to us this morning. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we're going to continue on in Romans chapter 12, and let me just say something before I forget. We are going to have Wednesday night service, but there will not be a Bible study. We're going to do something a little different. Spend more time, kind of like we did today, thanking the Lord, giving testimony, and having fellowship and prayer. So if you can come out for that, and whatever else. I don't know what else yet. But what you're going to see is we're going to do at the end today what we typically would do on Wednesday. So you don't have to come up with questions, Dr. Abby. We're going to pray for those that want prayer. afterwards today, and you'll see why. So let's, I'm just going to read, I'm not going to read all of Romans 12. I hope you guys are just getting into this for yourselves, but I'm going to read down a little ways. So I'm going to start here in verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, what we have been thanking God for today, what he's making real to us today, that you, that we present ourselves, our bodies, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is our reasonable service. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. So I want to look at verse 6 this morning. We've already looked at four topics, I believe, in those first few verses. And I just want to look this morning at these two verses, and what I want to, I guess, title the message this morning would just simply be receiving your gift. Receiving your gift. So let me read verse 6 here again. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. And now I'm going to read Ephesians 4, starting in verse 10. Because we're going to see where these things come from. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And so we understand from Hebrews, Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers, for the specific use of equipping the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind or doctrine, by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking truth in love, that we may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share and causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Now, verse 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4, we have a continuation or another example of these gifts and their diversity. In verse 4, there are diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. One is given a word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another a word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another workings of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one as he wills. Then further down in verse 18, it says, God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. If they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No. Much rather, those members of the body which seem weaker, they're necessary. Those members of the body which we think less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. There it is, Joe. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism or division in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. Are you getting a little sense from these verses I'm reading about the body and the gifts and what God is wanting to do here? If one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and members individually, and God has appointed these in the church. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers. After that, miracles and gifts of healings, helps, administrations, various of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the best gifts. And I'm going to use this last part here for our next message, because he's going to show us a more excellent way. And actually, Romans 12 is going to get into that. Like, this is important, what we're talking about today, but there's a more excellent way. And if you don't have that, all these gifts are like, you know, clanging cymbal. It's nothing. It's not going to mean anything. And so I'm going to really emphasize that. But this is important, very important. Paul is teaching us here in Romans 12, verse 6, that we all have gifts. They're different, but we all have them, and grace has been given to all of us, and we should be exercising that gift, whatever that might be. Right? He says, let us use them in proportion with our faith. And I'll have to say, I'm not always obedient. I almost wasn't obedient today. And it's been a long time. But I knew, and I guess it's because of what I'm preaching on, God wouldn't let me off the hook. And I knew if I didn't, it's not a good thing. I'll just say that. It's not a good thing because we need to exercise our gifts. We need to be obedient when the Holy Spirit is on us and nudging us. And it won't go away. We need to yield and let God use us. Now, there's basically three passages that talk about gifts. I just read Ephesians 4, 1 Corinthians 12, even 12 through chapter 14 in 1 Corinthians. And I guess we could say there's about, if you go through all there, 22 gifts. And there's three different categories we can, I guess, categorize them. There's those that are for establishing, like the church and the growth of the church, which would be apostles, pastors. And I want to say this, that we understand this, because this is a word that's used today, apostle so-and-so. And I just want us to understand that's, it's not talking about apostles like Paul or the 12 apostles. Apostles today is like a missionary that goes and plants churches. That's what it's talking about. Okay? There were only 12 apostles. So when you hear someone calling themselves apostle, run. But there's something not right there. It's not biblical. That's not what this is talking about. It's more of a missionary anointing to plant churches. All right, then there's pastors, right, teachers. And it is all for establishing, planting churches, helping churches grow. Then there's the supporting gifts. Prophecy, service, teaching, encouragement, giving, administration, leadership. These are used primarily to help organize. We see this in the book of Acts when things are getting out of control and there's needs and all that. And they needed support. The apostles, the leadership, they needed support. And God raised up, and it says, people full of the Holy Spirit that were gifted by God to carry out these things. Because there was support that was needed. And then there's ministry gifts. These are the tools that the Holy Spirit utilized for the ongoing ministry of the church amongst its members. And I was going to go through all these, but we'd be here a long time. And I realized 2 years ago I did a two-part message on the gifts, and I explained all the gifts. So you're going to have to go on our website and look up the gifts of the Holy Spirit, part one and part two. And in part two, I go through and explain. But really, I want to. You should be studying yourself in the Bible because you're going to see it's one of the ways you're going to know what your gift is by studying them, by reading scripture. I don't want to get off on that now, but so I don't want to get into that today because I've done it already. It's already on the website. So if you want a more detailed description of each gift, what it is, what does it look like, it's there. Okay? So what is a spiritual gift? Well, it's a God-given ability. It's not a natural talent. It's a God-given ability that God gives to individual Christians by the Holy Spirit that allows them to accomplish his mission for the church. And the best example I could think of for that was in Exodus when Moses called, when God calls Moses to fashion the tabernacle. Right, the place of worship for God and God's people. And it says in Exodus 31 that the Lord spoke to Moses and he told him, he basically said, hey, Moses, I've already called some men. I've called them by my name and I have filled them with the Spirit. Hey, in the Old Testament, yeah. We see that in the Old Testament. The Spirit would come on people. and they would accomplish exploits for God. I have filled them with the Spirit of God in wisdom and understanding and knowledge in all manner of workmanship. See, Ken, you think it's you doing it. It's God. He's giving you that. That's an inside joke. To design artistic works, to work in gold, in silver, in bronze, in cutting jewels for setting, in carving wood, to work all manner of workmanship. I have put wisdom into the hearts of all who are gifted artisans, that they may make all that I have commanded you. Same thing. This is his church. He builds his church. And he gives gifts to you. Not just me. Not just Gary. Not just Rose or Adam. To all of us. Because he's building his church. He has a mission for his church. And he's given you the Holy Spirit. He's given you grace. He's given you a measure of faith to exercise that gift. Because he has a mission. So, does that mean all of us? Does everyone get a gift? Well, every believer has at least one. If you are a true believer and you have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you, you have put your faith in Christ, God has given you a gift. It might be dormant. You might not be using it, but he's given you a gift. And guess what? He decides what that is. You don't decide. He decides. Right? We read that in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 11. It says, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Then in down in verse 29, it says, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healings? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? So he decides what that gift is, and they're all different. They're all different. So how do I know what my gift is? Well, after service, we're going to have a spiritual gifts test that you're going to fill out. I don't think so. If you've done that, you need to burn it and forget everything it told you. Okay? Why do I say that? All right, I was a little hard, but he's smiling at me. You've taken one. I know you have. Here's the problem with those tests, okay? This is from a lady. I read an article, Kathy Howard. A spiritual gift test is a man-made tool meant to help believers discern their spiritual gifts. The believer answers a series of questions designed to discover his or her specific gifts. When kept in the proper perspective, the test can be a helpful tool, but we must remember it's limited. How can a human tool effectively measure the infinite workings of the Spirit of Christ? Yes, she said. I didn't say that. So let's just keep this in mind when we're thinking about that, okay? Spiritual gift tests can encourage us to put our own purposes in place of God's purposes. Okay? They can reveal our own strengths and our own talents that we may use and find ways to serve that can be undertaken in our own power. I see it all the time. And sad to say, a lot of times leadership will put people because they have a natural ability. And if God's not in it, there's not going to be the increase that only he can bring. And spiritual gift tests can limit what the Holy Spirit wants to do. So it's a big temptation, right? Oh, yeah, let's do it, you know. I've had people like, come on, we should do it. And, you know, there's a temptation to do it. Yeah, let's see what you're good at. Yeah, we'll see what I'm good at, right? I bet you I can guess what yours is. If we're not careful, believers can easily fall into this trap of making spiritual gifts about us instead of about God. We ask, what can I do for God? How can I use my gifts and talents? When instead we should be asking, how does God want to use the gifts that he's given to me for his glory? So I'll give you some questions you can ask yourself to help you maybe identify. As you get over the Word of God, as you get over maybe those passages I read to you, do any resonate in your own soul? Do you have a burden that doesn't go away for a certain thing? What's the Holy Spirit telling you? What ministry or service in your life, maybe that you're doing, do you see fruit? And this is really important, this one. What do other people in the body see as your gift? Like, has anyone ever come to you in the body and say, man, you know, I really believe you have a gift in this area? And you got to be careful. It should be a common sense that people get about someone. I'll just be honest. Rose and I went and did teaching at Pure Life, and I was kind of like her sidekick. I was in awe watching my wife teach. She's just got a phenomenal gift to teach. You know, I didn't want to say anything. It was powerful, and I'm not lifting her up or anything. That's just her gift. It's obvious when she teaches. So we got to be careful, you know, that as we're engaging in Christian service, that we don't get in our mind what we think we should be doing, but we should let God and make sure we're doing what God has gifted us to do. It's very important. Because sometimes other people will look at maybe something you're doing, and it's obvious to them that's not your gift. But they see gifts in other areas. The problem is when we get in our heads that it's something we want to do, and sometimes there's not a right motive in that. Because what did he say, right? What did Paul say? Do all have the gift of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Does the baptism of the Holy Spirit make all of us evangelists? And as far as the gift, I mean, we all should be sharing the gospel. That's not what I'm saying. But an evangelist is empowered. You can think of people that are evangelists, and that there's a gift there. People get saved. I mean, they could preach to the masses. This is a snare that many of us can fall into. We read about other people's experiences. Evangelists, like I said, who won souls for Christ by the thousands. We read of people like Praying Hyde, you know, who wore divots in the wood from his knees. And they said when he would pray, people would run out of the room. That's not a natural talent. For some reason, God anointed that man to pray that way. But if I look at that and say, why don't I pray like that? Because God hasn't called me to be that kind of a prayer warrior, although he calls me to pray. But that man had a special gift that God would come upon him and enable him to pray hours and hours and hours to the point where he would rub the wood bare with his knees. But we got to be careful we don't look at that. Well, I want to be that. No, he's called you to be a cheerful giver. Or D.L. Moody, right? Oh, yeah, I want to be. Well, maybe God hasn't called you to be a D.L. Moody. He gives the Spirit to some that they simply might be ministers of helps. To some that they might be a faithful witness. To others that they might be sanctified mothers who raise their children. Who are keepers of the home and miracles of patience. Wisdom, sweetness. To each there is a gift of the Spirit, whatever kind of gift. There is to all the gift of power for effective service and testimony. Each receives power. Pentecost swallows up ineffectiveness in power. That's what Rose was praying for. And we need to be praying for that, that God would fill us with the Holy Spirit the way the apostles were full of the Holy Spirit, the way the early church was full of the Holy Spirit, so that we can proclaim the word of God with boldness and with power. So another question I want to ask is, if I get a gift and if God uses me in that gift, does that make me spiritual? Does that mean I'm mature as a Christian? Not necessarily. Just think of a spiritual child can get baptized in the Holy Spirit and get tongues. Does that mean they're a mature Christian? Is that a sign of maturity for them? No, we know what a sign of maturity is. Jesus said, by their fruit, you will know them. And that's what we're going to see when we get into the other message. There's something greater than this. And that really kind of shows where you're really at with the Lord and how deep your roots really go with God. Just remember, God can come on anybody. He can come on a donkey and speak, right? So when he's using us with our gifts, we got to just remember, this has nothing to do with me. I am just a vessel. I am nothing. If he uses me, he gets all the glory because I understand what I am without him. Right? What did he tell us in Romans 12, right? Don't think too highly of yourself. This is not about you. It's about the Lord being glorified. So it's not going to make you spiritual, okay? So, how do we receive and operate in the gift? I'm going to finish with this, and then we're going to have a time of prayer for anyone that wants to be prayed for. Well, we started out Romans 12 in verse 1 with this, right? What do we do in Romans 12, verse 1? What's the first step? Present your bodies a living sacrifice. So you have to present your vessel. You have to make yourself available to God. You have to empty yourself of you. You have to surrender your life, your faculties, everything to him. Offer yourself up to him as a living sacrifice. Be available. Okay? Then we should seek God for our gift or our ministry within the body. We should pray and ask God. We should wait on God. We should put ourselves in a place or a position where we can receive from him. So that means you're going to be intentional about it, okay? In other words, get in these scriptures. Get reading over them. Sit before God. Pray. Get yourself quiet before the Lord. Get a sense of what maybe God is saying to you in the verses. Something maybe he's impressing upon your heart. And then have faith that he wants to do that for you. Just think about it. How did you come to Christ? How did you receive the Spirit initially? By faith, right? What was the warning Paul gave the Galatians in Galatians 3? Right? Who's bewitched you? You start out in the Spirit, now you're in the flesh. You think you can earn this. You think you could somehow make this happen. And he reminds him, he says, this only I want to learn from. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law, or did you do it by the hearing of faith? So you have to believe God. You have to get over Scripture and have faith in God that He wants to do this for you. He wants to use your life. He can use your life. He has given you a gift. That's what was in my mind this morning. God really wants us to believe Him. But we got to have faith. We got to get our eyes off ourselves. We got to get them on Him and the truth of His word. And then we have to exercise it. We have to start stepping out in faith. It's the same thing of exercise with your muscles, right? If I don't use my muscles, they atrophy. They get atrophy, right? They wither. It's the same thing with your gift. If you don't use it, you will cause spiritual atrophy. Am I saying that right? He's shaking his head. Atrophy. Yeah, all right. I had another word in my head, so just making sure. That's where, again, where faith comes in. Don't doubt God. Step out in faith. I mean, I'll use a little example, which not necessarily has to do with the gifts, but more just letting God use you, like in a meeting, you know, where we encourage you guys, just trust the Lord. You're getting a sense. There's a scripture in your mind. Man, get up and read it out into me. Let God use you in a service. And it's awesome to see God do that like He did today. That's the Holy Spirit working through the body, because people are just stepping out. All right, I don't know, Lord, if this is you. I don't know, whatever. But, Lord, I trust you. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to step out in faith. I'm going to just open my mouth and believe, God, that you want to say something through me. Or maybe on your way to church, Lord, help me to be sensitive today. Lord, maybe help me to know if there's someone at church that just needs me to go over and say hi to them. I want to be, and step out. When you walk in and then you see someone and everything in you goes, oh, I don't think so. Step out in faith and go to them and smile and say, hi, how are you? I'm telling you, the more you do that, what you will see is God's going to show you it was Him. When the person says, I was so down today, and thank you so much for coming over and saying hi to me. I was just thinking, oh, I hope, you know, I don't know. I don't even know what to say at this point, but you know what I'm saying. They're going to say something back to you that you're going to know. God, that was you. They get blessed, and you get blessed, because God was able to use your life for somebody else. So you need to step out. You need to exercise your gift. And you got to remember, when Jesus performed miracles, when the disciples performed miracles, who was glorified all the time? God was. So you got to make sure God's always getting the glory. And that He is being glorified. Doing all things for the glory of God. That's the goal. Okay? So God has a specific ministry for each and every one of us sitting here today. Or if you're listening online. And when our hearts are open, completely open to whatever God wants and asks, we have the first step into entering into our ministry that God has for us. And so what I want to do today is I know there's certain people in here. Maybe you know what your gift is, and maybe you're already operating in it. Maybe there's others here, you haven't thought about it much, or you don't even know what your gift is. Well, it's scriptural to pray for people, for their gift. And we read that in Timothy, where Paul is telling them to stir up your gift, you know, remember by the laying on of hands, the gift that was given to you. So I felt led today that if to open it up for prayer as we close the meeting, and the leadership will just pray for you, just a simple prayer that God would release his gift in your life, and that in the days to come, he will help you to understand what that is and begin operating in it. Because I believe there's some dormant gifts laying around here in this body, and God wants to use you. Phyllis, God wants to use you. You have a gift, and you know what that gift is. Don't doubt him. It's him. We learn, as we're using it, how to use that gift. But you need to start stepping out in faith. So, Lord, I just want to pray right now for all of us. I want to make sure we're not making it about the gifts, but the giver. But, Lord, you do desire to use us. And, Lord, you're building this church. You know where each one fits. You know the callings and the different gifts you want to use in this body for your glory, for your mission. And really, Lord, that's why we're seeking you, and we're going to believe you, God, to help anyone here this morning that maybe their gift is dormant or they don't even know, they haven't even considered this. Lord, I pray you will, by faith, begin to pick them up and to use them the way you're wanting to use them. And for others here, Lord, that you would just help them to step out and start exercising it more. They know what their gift is. They're just not doing it. They're not trusting you to do it. So, Lord, I just pray right now as we just take a time to seek you and to pray together, Lord, that you'll just have your way and you'll come to each one as you will, and that you will do what only you can do in all of us, Lord. So I thank you, God, and I trust you to have your way in all of us, Lord, and to be glorified through our lives as we offer them up to you. In Jesus' name I pray.